the frozen tundra of Tampa Bay. Who the hell writes this crap? You've got the Mosh Gelton Show. From Tampa Bay to the world.
The Mosh Gelton Show. What's poppin'? Sunshine 96.7 FM, Radio St. Pete. It is Tuesday night, 11 p.m. to midnight. The Mosh Gelton Show pops off. 2023's best show by Creative Loafing, best FM. 2024, we lost to Bubba the Love Sponge. Damn you, Bubba! I am your host for the next hour. My name is Mosh Gelton, and I'm in here with the entire squad. Well, not the entire squad, but we have a full squad tonight. My co-host,
Ian Buck.
Buckshot.
Ow.
With me and Ian Buck tonight, we've got homegirl,
Jace Gress.
Nothing less.
But the best.
She knows it. And with me, Ian Buck, and Jace Gress, we do have the man, the guy.
That's your boy, Brandon Michael Krebser.
Brandon Michael, Mike Control Krebser.
Yeah.
Mosh, Brandon, Ian Buck, and Jace Gress. We got a dope show tonight, though. We are going to obviously talk about the fights that happened this weekend because they were big-ass fights, so we're going to talk about them. We're also going to talk about an upcoming movie, a sequel to a movie that's coming out, and we're going to have a music tournament. We're going to have four songs. We're going to pit them against each other to see which song is the best. A little well-known, famous celebrity. And we got it. It's jam-packed tonight. But before we get started, I just want to let you guys know, every Tuesday night at 11 p.m., the Mosh Gelton Show pops off, and you're not going to want to miss it. And we're also live Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on Sunshine 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete, where local music lives. What's poppin', Ian Buck?
Yeah.
How you feeling, son?
Man, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling like the one under the sun.
Explain that to me.
Oh, I don't know. I just felt like the one. So, you know, you called me the sun. Felt like the one. You know, and then I felt like I won. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. You took that all the way around. He was the one, then he won. I called you son, didn't I?
Yeah, that's what started it.
All right, son. That's good. Jace Gress, you feeling good?
I am feeling good. Had a good weekend. Lots of watching of the fights. It was a good time.
You always get the most elaborate analysis out of Jess's weekends.
Yeah.
Jess, how was your weekend? Well, it was good. I had some fun. I watched some sports. I drove my car. I opened the door with my left hand this time instead of my right hand. You know, my right hand was feeling a little weak because I tried to open up a water bottle, and I slipped. And so it was really interesting. Was that you, Jess? Or
that was elaborate.
No, that was Kreb.
That was Kreb laugh. Kreb. Brandon Michael Krebs are in the building. What's popping with
What's
you?
What's up, guys? What's up?
How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, bro. How's that mic control doing for you?
I feel pretty comfortable.
You feel pretty comfortable?
Yeah.
Would you say his regular speaking voice is too far away from the mic or too close to the mic?
I think it's almost perfect. I would say it's almost there. I don't know. I can't tell if it's too close or too far.
Jess?
You know what I mean?
I think it's good. When he gets louder, just maybe move away a little bit.
Kreb, what would you think?
See, now I would think that I could have ruined it all, but I think I'm pretty good.
Now he sounded on the money.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it sounded a little low. Anyways, the microphones are great. Did you guys watch the fight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, I put out a piece as soon as me and Buck put out a piece at the Mosh Gelton Show YouTube channel about this. Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, that happened on Friday night. I'm sure everybody listening watched this. And what I was really intrigued about was so many people, a lot of polls were saying Mike Tyson was going to win. A lot of people I know were saying Mike Tyson was going to win. And no, that there was no chance. Mike Tyson is almost 60 years old, 58. Jake Paul is less than half of his age. Jake Paul was bigger, and it wasn't going to work. And it was a damn nightmare. That was a nightmare of a fight.
I think everyone just had hope that Tyson was going to do something
Horrible. including the pauses by Netflix. I mean, like,
oh my gosh,
what are you gonna do? Just keep exiting and reloading. What do you miss? You miss the knockout.
My thing is that why was it buffering so much when people are always on Netflix streaming things?
Right. Just because everyone was on there at the same time, it's gonna do that.
I mean, if that was and enough accumulated more members to Netflix, that would be something.
Say that sentence again.
More accumulated numbers of people viewing Netflix could have spiked that, you know, buffering issue, but I believe that that's not the case.
Well, I think that is a contributing factor. The main reason was the fact it was being streamed live.
Right.
I don't think Netflix's platforms
they didn't think about that.
Set up for that, yeah.
Well, they didn't think about it being live?
The buffering. I don't think they thought about the buffering part.
There was no buffering issues on the Tom Brady roast that was live. And that was...
He's right. There was no buffering issues
on
the Tom Brady.
Live.
It wasn't live. Yeah. She's right.
Yeah.
It was slightly delayed. So
yeah.
Corresponding issues.
It was like the next day or something.
So Mike Tyson gets in there, right? And here's... For those of you, it doesn't even matter if you've seen it. You might have seen something that didn't happen, and I'm going to tell you what happened because everybody knows I don't know nothing about sports. I don't I do, but I just don't watch sports. I don't watch football that often. I don't, except for the Bucks. I don't watch basketball since they stopped calling traveling violations. But I do, everyone knows I love fighting. I love MMA. And so I knew this was going to be a wash going in. And they go in there, and so in the lead-up when they were doing the face-off, Jake Paul stepped on Mike Tyson's foot.
Yeah.
And then Mike Tyson slapped Jake Paul in the face.
What?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, Mike Tyson is ready. And I'm like, nah, dude, it's not going to go that way. And then Mike Tyson came out, and round one starts, right? And Mike Tyson goes out like a little bit like the old Mike Tyson. Jake Paul, you could tell, is scared.
Uh-huh.
First 60 seconds, Mike is bobbing, weaving, boom, boom. And then after the first 60 seconds, Jake was like, I got this in a bag. And then the second round, even Mike had a couple swings, but Mike's feet didn't work.
Yeah.
His legs were not there at 58, and Jake's legs were there. And here's the thing. Jake... And this is what I said I was pissed off when I talked about this, was Jake Paul promised that he was going to knock out Mike Tyson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Jake tried as hard as he could to knock out Mike Tyson and didn't, I wouldn't say that he didn't deliver on his promise.
Right.
But Jake could have knocked out Mike Tyson in round 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Guaranteed knockout he could have had, and he didn't do it. Now, is that okay? So it's Uncle Mike, right? You see, after the round 2, Uncle Mike can barely move.
Yeah.
So you don't want to knock out Uncle Mike, right?
Right.
Fair enough.
But the worst thing that you could, so if you don't want to knock out Uncle Mike, you should have threw in the towel. Jake should have thrown in the towel, and then Jake would have garnered every fan in all of sports. But instead, he chose to sit there and make me watch 6 rounds of him throwing jabs at Mike Tyson.
Right.
And then the craziest part is afterwards, everyone's like, man, Mike Tyson could have knocked him out at any time. It was scripted. I'm like, bro, you conspiracy theorists need to get on the right conspiracies to theorize, because there was a script that came out. Did you guys see that?
No.
There was a script that was like, round 1, Mike's going to come out. Round 2, this is going to happen. Round 3, and then round 5 will be the finishing blow. And I'm like, you guys are so dumb and gullible going for this.
Right.
Jake went out there. Jake was always going to win. Mike was old. He had no legs. And Jake Paul just played with him, bro.
Yeah. What do you think about him, Mike Tyson, biting his glove a lot through the fight? I don't know if you noticed that.
He said it was a habit. He said,
"Yeah, he did.
I have a habit of biting things."
Mm-hmm. He did say that.
Okay.
So Evander Holyfield can attest to that.
Yeah.
He is a biter. Yeah, very weird. But it was very weird that he couldn't. His legs were so gone.
Yeah.
That training footage that they were showing about him must have been old. I mean,
yeah.
What did you think about the fight?
No, I mean, the whole fight, obviously, in my opinion, was scripted. But
what?
Yeah. You got to believe it, man. I mean, like, if you think about it, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fighting with each other, like, you got to think about the logistics of it. All right, Mike Tyson's old, yeah. And if Jake Paul knocks him out, then that's crazy. And everybody expects Mike Tyson to knock out Jake Paul, which should have happened. And I seen multiple shots where he had a one left hook and Jake Paul's going down. He could have came with that right hook. That Mike Tyson right hook will knock a player down easy.
So you're saying Mike Tyson threw the fight?
Yeah. Just for the bag.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Tyson threw 18 jabs. That's $1.1 million a jab because he made 20 M's.
Right.
But you said it was scripted.
Yeah, we knew he was gonna win. He knew he was gonna lose the fight. He knew he was gonna lose.
So are you telling me that you believe that they got together and they said, "All right, here's what we're gonna do. Here's how it's gonna happen, and this is what's gonna happen." That's what you're saying happened?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, it is
1,000%.
Kind of like Hollywood, you know?
1,000%.
And you believe that, Buck?
I honestly believe that. Even if there was, maybe some probability it wasn't scripted, looking at it in hindsight, because hindsight's 2020, it was most certainly scripted. You got to look at it.
What do you mean by scripted then? Because maybe I'm missing this. What do you mean by
scripted? We're not going to knock each other out. We're just going to...
Okay, think of this. Here's a good example, right? If it was all up in the air, right? They're both putting in the best that they had, putting their best foot forward.
Right.
Okay. Then why after the second or third round would they play an ad?
I didn't get an ad.
I didn't see an ad.
No, of course, because it was very small and in the middle of the screen while they were transitioning. So the thing is if these are pre-planned, pre-programmed, pre-ready to set up, because I know that these pushes of a button need to be set in place beforehand. Right. Especially during live entertainment events, then to me, that's a tall tale sign that somebody was planning for these rounds to go for extended periods. And it wasn't, let's see who's going to win, Mike or Paul.
Well, it was actually a telltale sign, not a tall tale. Tall tale would be a lie or a fib. A telltale would be like a giveaway or... So just so you know, I don't want you to say that again in front of somebody else. And then Schmitty always gets mad when I correct him. I'm like, that's the wrong word, bro. And I don't want you to just say that in front of other people. But what I'm saying is if you watch the fight, it seemed pretty. I mean, let's hear what Jake Paul has to say about it. Jake Paul actually on the presser, this is what he said about it.
At any point did you start to take your foot off the gas just a little bit because you noticed he was tiring out?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a bit. Give the fans a show, but I didn't want to hurt someone that didn't need to be hurt.
So I didn't want to keep playing because I don't know if he's going to curse in there. But see, and that is exactly what it was. Mike, it's just they went out there. I guarantee you if Mike could have knocked out Jake Paul, he would have. If Mike didn't gas out after two rounds, they would have kept fighting. It seemed very obvious that Mike thought he could do more. Mm. He went in there. First round, he went all out. And then second round, he gassed. And the third round, he was so gassed. If it was a script, he would have moved around a little bit. He was just so beat.
Yeah.
And so... Jake had an option. So let's just say that wasn't scripted. Let's say they went in there and just a crazy crackpot theory. Let's say they go in there and Mike Tyson gets tired because he's 60 years old. Let's just maybe that happened. He gets tired after two rounds. So Jake Paul is like, all right, I can either knock this guy out quick. I could sit here and piddle with him, or I could throw in the towel. And he piddled with him, which is the worst of those three things. He should have either knocked him out or threw in the towel instead of doing that fight. But to say the fight was scripted, I think, is wild.
I mean, you can't really argue with that. I mean, because let's say if Mike Tyson came out and just went pound for pound, blow for blow, just throwing punches out of control, he would have at least shown a little bit of a better appearance in that situation.
He did. The first two rounds, that's what he did.
No. No.
That's first what round. I saw.
No. Yeah, first round.
Not Mike Tyson. If he came out, I seen he would lean into one punch, but not counteract with that other one. He would have destroyed him.
He didn't have the timing. You guys are saying it's scripted. That's wild.
Well, I would not agree with the argument he didn't have the timing, because throughout all of his training footage, he was a freaking beast. Yeah. So,
do you know how many times they've caught him uploading training footage from years prior?
Okay.
Okay, but is that for the Netflix event that they showed prior to the live airing the other night?
Yeah, and if you get 60 seconds, it's easy. Mike went 60 seconds hard in the fight, in the real fight. You didn't see no 8-round clips of Mike going the whole 8 rounds.
Right.
Yeah.
So I reject the idea that it was scripted. Here's what I think. I think Jake Paul, here's what's obviously coming next. Who's Jake Paul going to call out and fight next? Does anybody want to guess?
It's a UFC fighter. I know that.
Yeah.
Who is Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor. We all know that's coming. We all know that's the big money fight. We all know that neither one of them want to get hurt. So if you don't want to get hurt, go to a boxing match. Mm-hmm. Connor's not fighting in the UFC, apparently, so that's going to happen. And when that happens, that's going to be corny because Jake's going to win too. And speaking of the UFC, did anybody watch that last night?
Ooh.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
John Jones versus Stipe Miocic.
Uh-huh.
Did you see that?
No, actually.
Did you see that?
I watched it live.
Ooh.
Yes, I watched it
live. I watched it with Jess. Yeah. Okay, so for those of you guys that don't know who John Jones are, turn this show off right now. You do not deserve. No, I'm joking. John Jones is the greatest mixed martial artist of all time, and he was defending his heavyweight belt against the greatest heavyweight of all time, which was Stipe Miocic. Miocic, there's a lot of different weird names to say. He's a firefighter, cool dude. I thought John was going to lose until the bell rang. I didn't never thought John was going to lose. I hoped he was going to lose, and then when the bell rang, I was like, he's not. He's going to win.
Yeah, dude.
And then the spinning back kick to the ribs.
See, I really thought he was going to end by submission because he's like one of the top three UFC fighters in submission skills, like jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. So I really thought he was going to end by submission, but the back flying kick to the gut, oh my gosh.
And that's what he said. He said, Stipe doesn't get submitted, and you can hit him in the head as many times as you want, and Stipe rarely can eat it all.
Yeah.
So his strategy was body the whole time, because nobody's ever seen Stipe get hit in the body. And when he landed that spinning back kick, I felt it. I didn't even think Stipe went down like out of being a bitch. I think that was worse than any head hit you could have got and been conscious.
Yeah, that was bad.
It's not like he caught like the toe part or the front part of your foot. He caught the heel where the power's coming from, right in that mid gut. Yeah. That's a brutal shot.
And Jones is a dirty fighter. He tries to hit you with that toe to kind of like hit you with a weapon. Yeah. Hit you with that toe. So he got on top of he got on top of Stipe and started throwing them elbows and slicing, but Stipe wasn't getting cut. And Stipe gassed out real quick. So John Jones, the greatest heavyweight or the greatest fighter of all time, just beat the greatest heavyweight of all time. He's got the most world titles at, I think, 13. He's like got 6 more world titles. So John Jones successful again. But the best part of that night was Michael Chandler versus Charles Oliveira.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watched that one.
I watched them all.
Yeah, it was
all
good.
Three of them, yeah.
So we go in there, and I wanted Chandler to win because he was supposed to fight McGregor, and he got messed around and had to be sidelined for 2 years. So I was like hoping Chandler didn't get beat on this one. But for 4 rounds, the first 4 out of 5 rounds, Charles Oliveira was on top of Michael Chandler, pounding him.
Yeah.
And then in the 5th round, he was on top of Michael Chandler, pounding him, but then he grabbed his back, and there was like 30 seconds left. And Chandler gets up with Charles on his back, gets up, and then looks at the crowd and then just dives backwards and lands with Charles on his
yeah.
back. You know, he just dove backwards.
It's WWE. It was WWE all the way. I loved it.
He didn't just do that once, did he?
The crowd went crazy. Yeah. So he's like, you like that?
Yeah.
So he gets with Charles still holding onto his back. He stands up a second time, looks at the audience, smiles, and does it again.
Yeah, that was so good.
Wow.
Yeah.
He won the fight.
Then Olivero had like stuck his tongue out and like gave him a kiss on the cheek or something.
Yeah. The last 3 seconds when they were laying on the ground, Olivero was like, and then Chandler tapped him like good fight, and everyone's like, Chandler's tapping out in the last second. I'm like, he's not tapping out,
right?
So it was a very
I mean, he held his own in there.
It was a very good weekend for fights.
It was
except for the Tyson Paul fight. That was
the girl fight before the Tyson Paul fight. That was a good fight.
Did you see John Jones after he won? Because President Trump was sitting there next to Dana White and a collective other people Elon Musk.
And he did the Trump dance.
He did the little Trump dance. Yeah.
The YMCA Trump dance. Oh, so funny. Yeah, the female fight, though, before the Jake Mike fight was, I think...
Amanda
Serrano versus Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, that was brutal.
With the eye.
I didn't know you were allowed to just headbutt nonstop for an entire fight.
I mean,
she got points deducted.
Well, she should have got DQ'd, bro. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. Everyone was.
It was multiple times.
It was.
It was definitely. The entire fight to where the other fighter didn't know. They were like, I mean, essentially, Serrano's like, all right, well, if we're not boxing, I got to figure out a new way, because she wasn't just leading with her head. She was literally headbutting her all the way through. And then after she cut her with that headbutt, she started ramming her forehead into the cut.
Yeah.
So dirty of Taylor. But
I really think the officials should have just stopped that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, her eye was gashed. And if you can't envision like an inch.
But they kept asking, are you good?
That's crazy.
But the thing is, it's worse under here. Because you can still fight. If you got cuts wide open, you could still fight. You're good. It's not dangerous to do. It's only if it obscures your vision. So you can have this thing could be wide open, and if you want to fight, you could fight.
Yeah, on the eyebrow.
But you just, and then she was popping that cut.
Yeah.
Oh, it was disgusting. But it was a great night of fights. I had a great time watching the fights, and I was a big fan of it. So definitely, definitely good. You guys are the best, and you guys are listening to the Mosh Gelatin Show right here on Sunshine 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete, where local music lives. Every Tuesday night from 11 p.m. to midnight, we pop off, we get down, and we do some things. Now, this is where local music lives, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's also where local musicians who like famous musicians live, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
we're local musicians.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
We like famous musicians.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, we're gonna do a tournament.
Okay.
I'm gonna play. There's gonna be 4 songs in the tournament.
All right.
We're gonna play parts of 2. We're gonna play parts of them, and then we're gonna play the first 2, and then we're gonna pick. We're gonna do a roll call. And we're gonna, if you think one's better, raise your hand and it'll move on to the finals.
Okay.
And then we will find out which song is the best song out of these 4 songs.
Ooh.
You guys down?
Down.
Yeah.
I bet. So there wasn't really a theme, the theme is Mosh Gelatin style music, you know what I'm saying? Which is
alternative.
Could be anything,
obscure.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm actually, it's weird. I'm not the obscure guy. I'm not the guy that's like, what's your favorite band? Eon Toadfish. The one song, Electrocute Daddy, is my favorite song. Like, no, bro. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why songs reach the number one on the charts. It's not your little indie corny song that the band tours and nobody knows about. You're not cool because you know a song that nobody knows. And a lot of people, you're like a vegan, bro.
Yeah.
You're like a vegan if you. Oh, bro, have you ever heard of the band Foxtrot Dildo Face? It's like, bro, dude, we don't need to hear that. But You guys have heard of all these bands.
That's a good band.
Ooh. Right?
There was Crybaby is a fire band. Randy told me. He's like, my new band name is Crybaby. But without further ado, we've got four tracks. We're going to play them one after the other. And I want you guys to tell me which one you think is the best track. The first track up, you guys might know it. Here it is.
Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. I'm sick of sight without a sense of feeling. And this is how you remind me. This is how you remind me.
Women must have damn near killed you, and
this is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me of what I really am. It's not like you to say sorry. I was waiting on a different story. This time I'm mistaken for having you a heart worth breaking. And I've been wrong. I've been down, been to the bottom of every bottle.
First song is Nickelback. This is how you remind me. Buck, do you know that song?
Of course.
Just check. I just gotta always gotta check. Ian Buck's 21. I'm 38, 40, 35.
Exactly.
So Buck is 14 years younger than everyone else. I gotta check if he knows that, but of course you knew that.
Everybody knows
that because they play it.
It's a banger too. But we'll talk about that. But first we're gonna see who Nickelback, this is how you remind me. Who are they going to go up against? Well, here it is. Tell me if you guys know this song.
This is the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world. And while she looked so sad in photographs, I absolutely love her when she smiled. She only found tears, and I can be so insincere. Making a promise is never for real. As long as she stands there waiting, wearing the holes in the soles of her shoes. How many days disappear? When you look in the mirror, it's a hat of your shoes. Your clothes never wear as well the next day, and your hair never falls in quite the same way. You never seem to run out of things to say.
This is the story of a girl.
When she smiled, how many lovers would stay just to put up with this every day and all day? How do we wind up this way? Watching our mouths for the words that we say. As long as we stand here waiting, wearing the clothes of the souls that we choose. How do we get there today when we're walking too far for the price of a shoe? Your clothes never wear as well the next day. This is the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world. And while she looked so sad and lonely there, I absolutely love her when she smiled.
Absolutely. Story of a girl. Does anybody know who sings that song?
Oh, I was trying to think the whole time.
How many days?
Oh. How many days?
What do you mean, how many days?
The name of the band is something with days.
It's a number of days. 9 days is the name of the band. Story of a Girl. I'm sure we've all heard this. Buck, you might not have heard that one, huh?
I've heard it, like, here and there. Obviously, it's played on the radio, but I never knew the artist or the name of the song.
All right, so we're going to start with you then, Buck. You've heard Story of a Girl by 9 days. You also have heard How You Remind Me by Nickelback.
Yeah.
Who do you think should advance to the finals?
I think the first contender, Nickelback, is too underappreciated.
Ooh, it's going Nickelback.
Yeah.
So one for Nickelback by Ian Buck, How You Remind Me. All right, Jay Scress, what do you think? How You Remind Me, or are you going Story of a Girl?
I'm going to go Story of a Girl.
Oh. Why do you pick Story of a Girl over Nickelback?
Because Nickelback's, I'm that person that's like, oh, Nickelback, because they just played it so much.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm one of those people, yeah.
You went on the Nickelback hater train,
yes,
did you?
Yeah.
Hey, and Story of a Girl is a great song. Brandon Michael Krebser, what would you say? Would you say This Is How You Remind Me by Nickelback is better, or would you say Story of a Girl by 9 days?
I feel like this is kind of like a little UFC match, and just recollecting my thoughts. Bo Nichols won, so I'm going to have to say Nickelback.
Oh, he did that. He brought it back.
That's what I'm saying.
That's called a callback, ladies and gentlemen. So he's going Nickelback, so it's up to me to either tie it, This Is How You Remind Me, or... I'm going Nickelback, bro. I'm going. Yeah. That song, Story of a Girl, is a banger.
Yeah.
And I like the chorus a lot better than I like the body of the song.
Okay.
This Is How You Remind Me is just such a classic. And if you're in the, it's just better to me. It gives me a better feeling, a better vibe. And it's an underrated vibe that, like you said, you're one of those people that don't, but
yeah.
I don't like some of the Nickelback songs, but we're going Nickelback. So How You Remind Me is going to win, and there's two songs. We're going to find out who's going to go against How You Remind Me. You guys may know this band. You guys probably know this song. You guys ready for the next?
Ready.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Moss Shelton Show on Sunshine 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete, and we are doing the four-way music tournament. Four songs. One of them will be the winner. And here is the third song.
I'm not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite enter my veins. Never did I wanna be here again. And I don't remember why I came.
Do you know this song, Buck?
Oh, yeah.
Candles raise my desire. Why I'm so far away.
Godsmack, Voodoo, in the third song. Bringing out the big guns. Godsmack, Voodoo. But is Godsmack's Voodoo going to be better than this song? We're going to find out. The final song in the tournament. And here we go. Godsmack, Voodoo, or this song right here that I don't believe Buck has heard. Oh, this is a banger.
Last time I talked to you, you were lonely and out of place. You were looking down on me, lost out in space. Laid underneath the stars, strung out and feeling brave. Watch the red orange glow, watch you float away. City lights, I'm gonna save your tired soul, I'm gonna save our lives. I turned on the radio to find you on satellite. I'm waiting for this sky to fall, I'm waiting for a sign. And all we are is all so far.
Lady Peace, Somewhere Out There is the final song versus Godsmack's Voodoo. Now, I feel like the vocals were a little low on that chorus. I thought he was about to scream it, but he didn't. But I loved that song. As soon as I heard it come on, I liked it. I'll go first on this one. I'm not the one who's so far. I mean, it's a really dope song, but like... It's a really dope song, but you're falling out of reach, defying. I know you're out there. So that song gives me the goose peppers, man. So I'll probably get a lot of, I think the term is flack for this, but I'm going to go with Our Lady Peace on this one. Jess.
Yes.
You're going to go with Godsmack or are you going to go with Our Lady Peace?
I'm going to go with Godsmack on this one.
She's going Godsmack.
Yeah.
Why do you go Godsmack?
I think it used to come on a lot when we used to go out to the bar. And it was just like put you in that mood, yeah. Like a good, I don't know.
Put you in that trying to get off a heroin mood.
No, it was just a good song.
No, it was definitely a good song. So one and one. Buck.
Yeah.
Have you heard Our Lady Peace, that second song?
No, I actually haven't.
I know you're right. Let me give you a little bit more, a little another taste of it. This is Our Lady Peace.
I'm praying that you don't burn out, fade away. No, we are, it's all so fine.
Love it, Buck. Or there's Voodoo by Godsmack. I'm not the one who's so far away. Which one would you pick?
I'm gonna have to go Voodoo by Godsmack.
You're going Voodoo. Hey, it's not a bad choice, man. Why do you pick Voodoo?
It's just like more metal. It goes way... It just sounds so... I don't know.
Sounds like pulls so you in. Sweet.
Huh? It like pulls you in.
Yeah, it's like a hypnosis
right into
a focus.
You looking for the word trance?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you. Trance. There it is. No, I understand what you're saying. I can feel that. Comes down to you, Kreb, and you're going to make the decision here. Mm-hmm. You're going to either pick, because it's so close, you pick Godsmack or Our Lady Peace, what you say wins.
Yeah.
Which one's going to the finals?
Well, since you said trans, I feel like the translucive answer would be Godsmack all day.
translucent answer. Hold on. I'm going to flag. I'm going to challenge that.
I knew that was going to happen.
Translucent. Yeah.
You said translucent, so translucent.
It's not a mirage.
I'll give you translucent. Something that is not apparently transparent, but it's clear enough to allow light to pass through.
Like me.
So what are you taking, Kreb?
Oh, yeah, Godsmack all day.
Godsmack Voodoo is going to go.
Yeah.
Right. So we're down to the final two, and then there were two. Godsmack, and we got This Is How You Remind Me. In case you guys don't remember the songs, I'm going to give you a quick little snippet. Here is Godsmack's Voodoo.
He's in
So there's Godsmack's Voodoo, and it's going up in the finals against a song that a lot of people know and love. It's this song right here, Fiddle Low. There's Nickelback versus Godsmack. We've got How You Remind Me versus Voodoo. Jess, what are you going to pick first?
I'm going to go with Godsmack.
You're going Godsmack. Ooh. Jess yeah. goes Godsmack. Yeah. All right, Jess, I'll see your Godsmack's Voodoo, and I'm going with Our Lady Peace.
That's not an option.
It's not an option.
You're right.
It's not. It's you're right. But yeah. I did mean... I'm going with Nickelback. I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got one for Nickelback. We've got one for Our Lady Peace. No, we've got one for Nickelback, one for Godsmack. Ian Buck, what do you think Kreb is going to say when I ask him and save that thought because I'm going to ask him now? Kreb, which one are you going to pick?
Since these are both songs that I would probably listen to crying on the way home from the casino, I'm going to go ahead and say Godsmack.
Oh.
He's going, God, he's either crying because he's addicted to heroin or he wants...
Hit the bottle.
What is the... This is how you remind me. It's not like you to say sorry. I guess he's just talking about some chick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So you went Godsmack.
Yeah, Godsmack for sure.
All right, Buck, you're the ending here. You get to pick. It's either going to be Godsmack's Voodoo or Nickelback's This Is How You Remind Me. What's it going to be?
Well, I'd like to say first, thanks for saving the best opinion for last.
Ooh. Ooh. I like it. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Also, it's a hard decision for me because both of these songs I chose as finalists, and they're very great songs, get right to the emotions. But if it has to come down to it at the end of the day, I only got to listen to one for the rest of my life, it's going to have to be Nickelback.
It's going to have to be Nickelback. Oh, I did not expect that. I had Voodoo pulled up, ready to go. This Is How You Remind Me is the winner.
It was a tie.
Nope. Buck got to pick the final.
All right.
Nickelback is the wiener of the night. Oh, I like the clean version. They edited damn. They edited, damn, I like that. So Nickelback, yeah. Apparently This Is How You Remind Me is better than Story of the Girl. It's better than Voodoo. And it's better than I Know You're Out There, Somewhere Out There. So give it up, ma'am. Nickelback. Nickelback be kicking that ass, bro. Yeah, I'm a big man, that Godsmack song, I love it, but... Mm. After a while, I got older, and so many friends are addicts and stuff. It's just like, you know, I've never shot anything, shot drugs before, so it's not super relatable to me. But I understand drug addiction. Mm. This guy's got snake bites going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's an analogy I had to think on for a minute. You know, when I first heard it, I'm like, snake bites, and I'm like, oh, he's talking about Drug use. Oh, okay.
Never did I want to be here again, and I don't remember why I came.
That's the casino part.
Fire.
Yeah.
It's really fire.
Yeah.
But Our Lady Peace, I was hoping that was the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world. She looks so sad in photographs, but I absolutely love her when she smiles. These lyrics are all super duper big fire.
Amazing song.
Big town fire. We'll have to do that again. That was actually fun.
It was.
Had a good time. You guys know Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out?
Really? Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Never heard. Didn't even know.
No, not, I didn't know they were making a sequel.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore 2 is in the works. It'll be out. I think, I don't know exactly when it's going to be out. The production says, the production started in September of 2022. In 2024, Shooter McGavin let it slip on television that it was coming. It's going to Netflix when it comes out. We don't know exactly when it's coming, but it's coming. And for those of you that remember the first Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's all the same people. You got Ben Stiller's coming back as the caretaker. Hmm. You got Shooter McGavin. They're saying that Happy Gilmore 2 is it's a sequel to Happy Gilmore, obviously, where they just reprise their roles. And then it doesn't tell you anything about the storyline.
It's a secret.
I don't know how they're going to get the grandma. She was really old.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, there's no way. She was like 90.
Maybe she's, maybe that's something.
No chubs away. Either.
CGI mosh. Deep fake technology has come
Bro,
so far.
I believe that. It's funny. Did you guys seen Back to the Future trilogy?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You remember the first one, George McFly, Marty McFly's dad. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So Marty McFly's dad did the first movie, and it was such a crazy success that he wanted to have higher compensation for the sequel, Back to the Future 2. And, I mean, this is what I've read. I don't know if this is gospel, but the money wasn't right, so Marty McFly's dad, George, backed out of the movie. And so Robert Zemeckis, the guy that directed it, he's like, all right, you want to back out? Find me somebody that looks exactly like this guy.
No way.
And that dude that you see in the second one is not the same dude from the first one.
Wow. Okay. Wait, I didn't know that.
Yeah. The dude that's upside down because his back hurts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a completely different dude. They made his face and makeup look exactly like.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Same thing in the third one. Well, that dude, I forget it's something. I forget his name. But he sued the company and said, they're using my likeness. And that's where you hear, that's where it came from, where you can't use my likeness without paying me.
Oh.
So that's where that came from, essentially. So he won that lawsuit and they couldn't use his likeness anymore. But it's pretty wild. Like, all right, that's kind of like The Rock starring in a movie and then there's a sequel. And he's like, I don't want to do it. And then you dress somebody up to look exactly like The Rock.
Yeah.
As if The Rock was playing.
Wouldn't that be like infringement? Or something like that.
It's likeness. That's what they call it. It's an infringement on their damn fiscal stuff, bro.
Yeah, and with technology, it's going even further to where you can create an entire movie with a top actor, and they've never even starred in it.
Right.
So what do you do in those instances? Do they get paid? Is it just a free public, information?
It depends on the contract. If they sold their entire soul for it, then they're owned for life. And then it also depends on if they've visited any islands.
Ooh.
Because if they've visited islands, there may be some footage on them.
Mm.
So now they don't have their own will. They have to follow somebody else's will. That's what sell your soul really means.
Yeah.
I have to follow somebody else's will. Therefore, my soul isn't being enacted by me. It's being acted by them.
You think, though, that like if someone was to do that, like a crossover and use somebody else's name or face and voice and all that stuff, that it eventually it would be monetized to where the person that's publicly putting this out there for their own benefit, they would get demolished.
You're asking, like, the people whose likeness they're using, would they get paid?
Right.
I mean, it's whatever's in the contract. Right. If it's not in the contract, if you're signing your initial contract and you don't see that it says, if we don't use you, we may use your likeness in a movie, sign here, and you sign it.
Right.
Oh, you're donezo.
You're donezo. You sell your soul to the devil, sign right here. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, too. Not to get into politics or anything, but people, these actors and these celebrities come out and try to tell you, yo, man, you should go for this person. And they do. These people are professional liars, bro.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's just weird to me that the most revered people on the planet, their occupation is to professionally lie. The best people who can pretend to be something else are the people that we look up to. Let me break that even down further. The people who know how to change reality to make you believe reality is something that it's not are the people that are revered in society. That sounds like the opposite of what should be happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
But I don't think all actors are bad or whatever. I'm just...
No.
I have thoughts about radio where I'm like, am I like just... being a bitch, like selling my soul. Listen to me, come listen to my show, right, bro. And then people are like, it's entertaining, you know, you make people laugh and stuff. And I guess I do. And then there's all these other shows out here. We need to be out here.
Yeah.
They're gonna listen to something.
They're
gonna listen to us.
So they're gonna listen to us, and that's what's gonna happen. Number one.
No other choice.
Videography's going good, too.
Yeah,
we're starting to bang out the videography. Everyone's going really good with the show. Because we're about to wrap up here in a minute, we've got Brandon Michael Krebser in the building, who is he does sports for us. Is there anything that is over the past week, Sunday?
Yeah.
Since Sunday, anything in the sports world going on?
Well, today our hometown Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a bye week, so we don't need to see them play, and they needed the rest because we need Mike Evans to come back with his hamstring. Obviously, Chris Godwin's gone for the year with a broken ankle, left ankle actually.
Damn.
And yeah.
What position does Chris Godwin play?
Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are both wide receivers for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, so that is not good.
It is a brutal loss. They brought in their fourth, fifth, and actually their seventh string receivers, but Chad Otten. I'm sorry if I said Chad. I think it's Cade Otten. But that tight end is basically like a Rob Gronkowski. You know, he is the guy. He's getting more than six receptions a game, over 70 yards, and touchdown scoring. He's just absolutely a monster. So with him in the field, and granted, we lost the Kansas City Chiefs by six. We lost the San Francisco 49ers by three. Those are both Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
To just even compare to that with the outages on the Tampa Bay Bucs, the injuries, that's got to be an accomplishment in itself. I know everybody knows, but you're going to know now, my team is the Minnesota Vikings, and we won today against the Tennessee Titans. We did a great job. Sam Darnold came through, throwing two touchdowns plus 200 yards passing. Justin Jefferson didn't get a touchdown, unfortunately. I put some money on him, but so... All that, I mean, just it's just Packers won by 1 point.
Oh.
The Packers, you and Schmitty, you guys, so you, did your team win?
Yeah, my team won.
And Schmitty's team lost.
Schmitty's team won by 1 point against the Chicago Bears, the worst team in our division.
You hate that he won, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Especially by 1 point.
You need a little bit of we need a guru. Is Raja around? Raja.
Yes.
How do you, dude? He keeps fighting with Schmitty over his team. His team is the Minnesota Vikings. Schmitty's team is the Packers.
Mm.
And he seems to get angry about it.
Well, we have all of these problems in my homeland, good sir. But it should be fixed with one good solution. And I will tell you this right now, good sir.
What's that?
Hey, would you like to know?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, well, I will give you a form of payment to pay me for later for this advice, good sir. But this advice is to be happy, good sir, but not just for yourself, good sir, but for all of your good brothers and good sisters. See, I tell you, would it not be the most enjoyable of affairs, good sir, if you and Schmitty were both happy?
I don't see how we could both be happy. I mean, I'd like to file a complaint on behalf of Metro PCS that there's no reason to be happy. Happy? I'm extremely devastated that the Packers are even winning any games. Like, it's extraordinarily unbelievable to me. And the fact that Schmitty, in his delusional mind of fictional characters, thinks that the Vikings are not better than the Packers, it blows my mind. So I have one question for you, Raja.
Yes.
Now, how am I supposed to treat this as I'm a happy person when I know that my team is better than the Packers?
Well, it sounds like you have a very good bad problem, and it is not good, let me tell you. It is the fact you are not, sportsmanship, good sir. You do not seem to have sportsmanship, and you do not even play for the team, which is crazy. You invest a life energy in this team. Just to relax, breathe, smoke the finest Indian hashish in the land, good sir, and realize at the end of the day, you are weighing your own self down by letting him get in your head. Now, if you would really win if you were not affected.
All right, so affection comes with a good part of responsibility. And I'm feeling like I need like a suitable tea or a meditation or something along those lines. Now, being Raja, the Raja you are, how would I incorporate that mentality of physically and spiritually resting my mind to help with me cope with that the Packers might be better than the Vikings?
And now, if you cannot go on this all long spiritual journey as many busy folks cannot do, I recommend a natural remedy. It is a tea from my village, local town. It is called the horny goatweed, good sir. You drink this horny goatweed, you will be relaxed like the goat.
Now, does that tea come in a package?
I found it at Sprouts, good sir. It's very convenient.
Wait a second. Isn't horny goat weed what they sell at the gas stations for penile dysfunction? Thank you, Raja.
You're welcome.
No, that's a sexual enhancement.
Sexual enhancement.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if your penile is functioning well, it just is an enhancer is what you're saying.
Correct. Yeah, it's not going to get the boat moving, but the engine will be running.
Ooh.
Oh, man, if we had time to talk about penile enhancements. But we do have to leave it at penile enhancements, ladies and gentlemen, because we are out of time. But I do want you guys to know that you can check us out every Tuesday night right here on Sunshine 96.7 FM, 11 p.m. to midnight, The Mosh Jelton Show, Best of the Bay 2023, second place 2024. We're rocking 11 p.m. to midnight. Also, don't you forget, every Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m., we are live on Sunshine 96.7 FM, Radio St. Pete, where local music lives, which is at radiostpete.com. So don't forget, that's every Monday night. So don't miss it, 8 to 10 p.m. We love you. We have been the Mosh Jelton Show. Toodles.
From the frozen tundra of Tampa Bay, who the hell writes this crap? You've got the Mosh Jelton Show. From Tampa Bay to the world.